listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Your Ultimate Life. Isn't this a beautiful picture? Looking over that beautiful skyline. I love all the cool stuff AI can do. Welcome to the show to talk about your ultimate life, the show dedicated to helping you create purpose, prosperity, and joy. Make a difference in the world and make some money. Today, I got a special guest that I'm excited to have, and Mark Shalinsky. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kellen. Great to be here.
So, Mark, I'm not going to give an intro. I don't do that. We'll just kind of unroll that as we go along. What I'd like to find out, first of all, is tell me, what is Mark's, this is not about being modest, so what is Mark's favorite or most powerful way that Mark Shalinsky adds good to the world?
For me, it's all about helping people. I mean, when you and I saw each other last, it was all about, you know, I'm there to help educate and inspire entrepreneurs. I mean, I get jazzed by helping people succeed, and it makes a difference. You know, there's so little encouragement in the world that I just want people to succeed, and it's that simple.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about that. So what is in Mark's heart? Like, why? Like, I hear people all the time say, well, I love helping people. And there's nothing wrong with that. I say the same thing. And so I want to know, like, you are successful. And we'll get into what some of that success looks like in a little bit. But I want to know why you care about helping entrepreneurs succeed. I mean, it's a nice thing to say, but what's going on in here? I mean, you're successful. You know how to do stuff. You do stuff. What is it that makes helping entrepreneurs succeed a real priority for you? And I say that because I know that it is. Why?
So I came from a family of 9-to-5ers, professionals, but they always worked for somebody else. And I started to go down that path for a while. I worked for, I was a senior level manager with a Fortune 100 company in New York City for a while. And I just realized that I was never happy. You know, I was punching the clock. I was doing the drone thing. And it was only when I really kind of let myself go and explore entrepreneurism and start my own business that I really started to be happy. And it made me realize that there's so many people out there who are just trapped in a job, and they probably grew up never having the encouragement to try the things that lit their fire. And that's what really motivated me to start teaching and working with entrepreneurs and getting people to get outside and know that while it's not easy, it's possible. And it allows, you know, people to be successful. It allows them to get out of their shell and really make a difference.
What's different about you? 95% or some ridiculous percent, 80% of businesses fail in the first 5 minutes or 5 years or whatever. And I want to know what is different that, like you said, I did this corporate thing. I'm not happy. And what you said, when I started letting myself go, was the phrase you used, letting yourself go. Like, how did you make that work? Because there's so many who they never try because they see horror stories or they're afraid they'll fail. Or there's some that, you know, they do and they fail. So how did you do that?
And I was one of those.
Okay, talk about that a little bit.
One of those a few times. I launched a lot of businesses over the last almost 30 years, and most of them were not successful. It was really my internal drive to keep going and realize that I'd learn from the lessons that were presented to me. You know, one business I launched was, I was in the e-commerce space, and the lesson I got out of it was, don't trust a contract from a vendor, even when you read it. I had a vendor that presented me with a contract for a licensing agreement. And I'm like, okay. I had my lawyer look at it. It looked all good. And we started selling a product. And about 3 months later, I got a cease and desist letter from a major company saying that I was violating their trademarks. And it turned out that the vendor whose product I was representing forged the letter saying that they had a licensing agreement. So I learned a lesson. I lost about $75,000 on that one, and a whole lot of work. And I learned a lesson and I moved on. It was something that I took a hit on, both financially and motivationally. And then I said to myself, after I cried for a weekend, I said, okay, what lesson do I need to learn out of this? And how am I going to do it differently going forward?
So there's a couple things. I want another story if you have one, but a couple of things, because if we're thinking about for this moment here, a checklist, or not a checklist, but a list of things. You said, I keep going. I won't give up. I keep going. And you said, I learned from these mistakes. And then you gave this example. Mistake is not even a mistake. Stuff that happens, unexpected or whatever. So there's, if you're starting or running a business and it isn't going the way you want yet, or if it fails, two things we've learned already. One is, so what? Keep going. And number two is, figure out what the mistakes and or the learnings are. What else?
Find somebody who's done it and mentor with them. When I was very early on, when I started to branch out into entrepreneurism and launch my own businesses, I found people who were doing exactly what I wanted to do. And I went to them and I learned from them. And it's not only modeling how they did their business, but how they reacted to things, who they were as a person. And there were plenty of mentors or people that I reached out to along the way, along the journey, who once I got to see who they were, I was like, okay, I can model their success, but I don't want to be who they are, because they weren't people that were in alignment with where I was. But I can still learn from them and model their success. So I think finding a mentor or a model to follow is important, because they have a roadmap that can help you get where you want to go. That's what happened with me. I found somebody who is successful. When I got into e-commerce in the very beginning, I found somebody who was very successful at it. And then I modeled what they did to launch my first store and to be successful. And that's in all aspects of life, whether it be relationship or business or anything else, learning from a mentor or a role model is very important in your own growth.
So that's another profound learning. And that involves a couple of things. One, admitting, and that's not even an admission, realizing you don't need to do this by yourself, because there's 57 zillion people that have done exactly or almost exactly what you've done. So find that and get the shortcuts that come from somebody else who's run the traps before you and is willing to help you. The other thing you said that I thought was really important is make sure there's alignment. How many people do you know or do I know that are so focused on, I got to make a bunch of money, that they lose sight of ethics or truth or, fake licensing agreements or whatever, because the thing that they're worshiping is the quick buck. And at the end of the day, you end up with a hollow heart or in jail or worse or whatever. And so finding someone not only that knows the ropes, but that is energetically, ethically, whatever the right word is, aligned with who you're being, whether it's a completely different thing or not, has nothing to do with it. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. And that's an important part. Looking at, there are many mentors, especially in business, who are so focused on the dollar that they lose sight of the other even more important part of life, and that's family, relationships, connection to a higher power, religion, whatever you want to call it. And it amazes me how easy it is for people to get work, to get caught up in the cycle of I have to make money, and that becomes the ultimate goal. In my case, one of the things that I learned early on was success doesn't equal dollar signs. Success can be measured in so many ways. Success for me is measured in the time I spend with my family, my wife and my daughter, the traveling that we do, the time I spend with family and friends. That is a bigger measure of success to me than how much money I make.
So you said something about, okay, they're focused on money and less so on the, and then you said even more important things like blah, blah, blah. Why is that stuff, I agree with you, by the way, I'm not arguing. Why is that more important? And what would you say to somebody that says, yeah, you're only saying that because you're not a billionaire. And if you were, maybe you are, but if you were a billionaire and had all the money in the world, you wouldn't say that because money, of course, we all really know is the most important. And people that say it isn't, it's just because they don't have all of it. What would you say to that?
Unfortunately, money is a measurement that is very external. You know, it's in the marketing, in the online marketing space, I always get a good laugh out of the people who make the videos with the Lamborghinis and the private jets. And it's like the material, they believe that the material things are more important than everything else. Unfortunately, it's become in society a yardstick that people feel like they can measure based on. You know, you see the charts of millionaires and billionaires, the top this in Forbes magazine and all this other stuff. Society as a whole likes to rate people or rank people based on money when there are so many other things that are more important. And it's a shame.
I love it. I agree with you. I agree with you. And I, you know, here's what I know for sure. There are many people who have all the money, more money than they can spend, who are miserable. And if you know anything about their lives, you know it, you see it, you know, and they even talk about it. I also know many people who don't have a gazillion dollars. They're not starving, but they're, you know, and they're way happy. And so, yeah. You know, you can see the examples of that truth. And that's what, you know, this ultimate life idea about purpose, prosperity, and joy is all about. Because I use the word joy. I had an interesting conversation yesterday about somebody about the word joy. And, you know, we got in a conversation about what that meant. And English was not their first language. And so they had the idea that joy was what I would call happy, which is sort of the bubbly stuff. And joy is really that deep, for me at least, that deep soul contentment that lets you just be, you know, at peace with everything. So how many businesses have you started? Ballpark.
16 off the top of my head.
How many do you still have?
28 years.
28 years.
Yeah, I have three. And I'm about to get rid of one of them.
Okay. Because you're selling it or because you don't want to do it anymore?
I just don't want to do it anymore. And I haven't found somebody who wants it.
Okay, cool. So if you want to buy a business, you need to talk to Mark. We'll have his contact info afterwards. I don't even know what it is, but it doesn't matter. If you're in the business, buying business, you can talk to Mark afterwards. So I want to move to what do you spend your time doing today? You know, my first question was adding good to the world, and you said helping entrepreneurs succeed and grow and in a holistic way, as we've talked about, which is not just more cash, but it includes more cash. And it includes balance and identifying and owning the things that are truly important in your life. Specifically, how do you go about that? What are you doing these days to cause that effect?
A lot of my focus for the last couple of years have been on AI, only because it's making massive shifts in the world at a level we haven't seen before. You know, you can kind of correlate the way AI is changing the world today to the great changes in history. I mean, we're talking about fire, the wheel, the internet, electricity. AI is going to change the world at that level. And it's done that in the last few years. And it's only getting bigger and better. So one of the things that I do is I help entrepreneurs utilize AI as a tool to gain back the freedom that they're losing. Many entrepreneurs get caught in, you know, we've all heard the term the grind. They get caught in that, I started a business and now I'm working 80 hours a week and I don't have my weekends off and I'm working 12, 15, 18 hours a day and I'm not happy about it, but I have my own business. So where I put my focus on is AI tools that will help the entrepreneur regain their freedom. And that means different things to different people. Some cases it's hours, some cases it's time with family, some cases it's a vacation. Whatever it is that for them, I help them build the tools that they need to really regain that and get away from those 80-hour weeks. It's just so many people are just caught in that, and it's depressing. It's sad. And I want to help more people get away from that.
So, you know, you hear all kinds of opinions about AI, and it's become a political football. I mean, I live in Canada, but the current U.S. president is talking about wanting to have, you know, AI leadership or supremacy or something, depends on the day and how important that is. We know that AI can be a tool. Some people think it's, you know, a singularity and it's going to be talking robots and we're all going to be subservient to the Asimov model in about 5 minutes. And whatever you, iRobot and all the dance.
Yeah.
Whatever you think about it, it's certainly disruptive. It's certainly here. Mm-hmm. And I saw an article that said that the power, its ability to do stuff, the power that it has, is doubling every 3.3 months. So every, and I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what some article said.
Yeah, that's a little outdated. It's now actually about every 3 to 5 days.
Okay, so if it's doubling every 5 minutes, by the time we finish this conversation, it will have moved down to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit. We're going to talk about how you help people use it as tools. I know you have them, 4 or 5 examples, because I want entrepreneurs that are listening to this and all kinds of business owners, but entrepreneurs, small business owners, and maybe big ones to embrace the idea. There's no fear here. It's a massive tool. We'll deal with the singularity and the robots later. Right now, you've got a massive opportunity to do cool stuff. So talk a little bit about the fears that are around it. Maybe it's ignorance. Maybe it's, I had somebody tell me the other day that code can't do all those things. And so they're convinced it's, you know, some kind of alien technology that's been being hidden forever because code can't possibly do this. Right. And they believe that. That was like, yes, that can't be because I'm a coder and it can't, et cetera, et cetera. So tell me how we should think about this new monster that is absolutely disrupting the world and doubling in power every, 3 to 5 days and every 5 minutes by the time we get done tonight.
The biggest thing with AI is understanding what it can do. Not necessarily the nuts and bolts of it, because at the rate in which it's improving, no person can keep up with it. It's literally how you talk to it. AI nowadays, depending upon which model we're looking at, is a person with an IQ of anywhere between 130 and 157, depending upon which test we look at. So I look at it and I say, all right, if I have an employee who can work 24/7, who has an IQ of 150, what can I have them do to make my life easier and better? And that's the way I approach it. AI is not something that I have to control or master. It's something that I need to understand how to talk to. And if you talk to it, like you and I are sitting here talking, it will engage back with you and respond and give you what you're asking for. The challenge that most people have with AI they don't understand how to speak to it. And once you learn that, once you learn the language and it's normal conversation, it becomes that much easier to get the results you want.
I love your example of somebody with 150 IQ that works 24/7. And on top of that, they don't complain for redos and they don't bitch about the assignments or any of that kind of stuff. So enlighten me a little bit about, we'll get to specific ways you help people in a minute, but how do you talk to it? So if somebody comes to you and said, Mark, I heard your show. I need to learn how to talk to this thing because I just realized I have a genius sitting in my staff and I'm not using it. So how would you tell me to go learn to talk to it?
There is no way to learn it. It's a conversation. And the hardest obstacle for most people today, you brought up the where we are in society. And that's the challenge. The challenge is we've forgotten as a people how to talk to somebody, how to engage. In the general world, there's a lack of understanding and a lack of communication. We need to get away from that. We need to go back to the simple, open, I ask a question, I get a response. I ask a deeper question, I get a deeper response. And that's all you have to do to engage with AI. If I need to get specific things back from it, all I have to do is give it a frame of reference or some knowledge, and it will respond based on that knowledge. If we wanted to create an AI Kellen, if we fed it your writings, your works, your knowledge, it would respond as if it were you. And we can do that with AI in any sense of the word.
I want to put a comma right there. Any sense of the word comma. It's funny because I've done that. I didn't create an agent, but I've written 20 books. I have 1,000 podcasts. I have millions of words in all that stuff. I have put all that in there and talked to it. I don't use the voice thing. I sometimes transcribe audio or whatever, but it doesn't matter. In very conversational ways. And lo and behold, it talks to me and it sounds like me. Yep. It most absolutely does. It challenges me. It says things I would say. And sometimes I'll ask it a question and I'll say, tell me what you think. And it'll come back and say stuff. And I'm like, holy crap. Yeah, that. And so I'm just as a case study, I've done that because, as I write a lot of books. I'm writing two more right now. And having done all that, I can go back and read this and this and this book of mine and cross-reference it with this other stuff and come back and tell me what you think about this. And I'm like, yeah, that. And so you're right. Keep going. Yeah.
There was a great study in one of the medical journals back in December where they taught an AI differential diagnosis. So they taught it how to be a medical diagnostician, gave it all this knowledge that they learned in all the textbook knowledge. And they took these complex cases where they had patients who were having problems with coming up with what's wrong. And they fed all their files into the AI model. And they said, okay, come up with a diagnosis. And the crazy part was the AI actually outperformed some of the top doctors in the world.
Dr. House is in trouble.
Yeah, Dr. House is in big trouble. The great part about it, though, is think about what that does to level the playing field. So if you're a doctor who has great bedside manner, but you can't keep up on every textbook and research paper and everything else, you now have a research partner literally sitting in your cell phone that you can feed it test results and all this other stuff and almost engage with it like a discussion partner. Hey, let's collaborate and try and figure out what's wrong with this person so we can help them. And that creates a very different approach for the people that are willing to embrace it.
Talk about that willingness to embrace, because there's some resistance, there's some fear, and I've embraced it. And I have very quickly. I mean, I didn't know much about it X number of months ago. You've been on it for a couple of years, and I have not. I've been on it maybe 6-8 months. And the last little while, I've been like way up the time thing. But I have very quickly realized, you know, holy crap, and I use it every day, all the time, lots.
Yeah.
So what do you say to people that are scared of it or, you know, that kind of thing?
Well, and there's a couple of different reasons why people are scared. There are the ones that have the fear of the dystopian model that obviously has been very prevalent in movies and TV and everything else for the last 50 or 60 years. And that are like, oh my God, every movie, when there's an AI that starts thinking, it turns out bad. So, you know, we don't want that.
Right.
But that's actually a very small percentage. The challenge that most people have is time to learn. AI is evolving at such a rate that business owners, or people in general, are like, I can't spend 5 hours a day learning it. Therefore, I'm not getting a good quality result from it. And we have to help people understand that they don't need to know everything. They just need to know enough to ask good questions. And if we can get their ego out of the way, that ego piece that kicks in that says, I need to know it all, and get them to move away from that and just learn how to ask some good questions, they get a completely different result.
I love that. So let's get to how you specifically help entrepreneurs, because that's where that last question leads. So if I only need to know enough, I'm a business owner now, and I am, I don't know, struggling. Maybe I've got good sales. Maybe I don't. Maybe I have good market share. Maybe I'm going up or down. Doesn't matter. But I'm feeling the need to grow, to protect my share, to grow, launch new products, something. And I hear you, and I'm saying, okay, cool. I need Mark to... How do I find, what do you have that teaches somebody how to do that? Begin to ask good questions. And what is the way you offer this help to entrepreneurs that need what you're saying?
So I actually just released a new book that's out on Amazon now. It's called Leverage or Die. And it's one of those titles that are like, oh my God, I'm going to get fear. I'm going to make people afraid. So I've got to create a really catchy title. But leverage is all about how they regain their freedom. I look at AI as a tool that will help them get there. And what I talk about in the book is, think about anything you do in your business and put it all into one of three buckets. There are certain tasks that as a business owner, like Callan, we can use you as an example. There are certain tasks you do every day that require you. Nobody else but you can do that task. Then there's certain tasks that require a person, a human being, to touch, feel, do something, but it doesn't have to be you. And then there's the third bucket, and that's everything else. So when we look at a business, and I go in and I talk to an entrepreneur, whether it be a solopreneur or a big company, when we break down tasks, we break them into those three buckets. And the tasks that require that specific person, they're not going anywhere. Those have to be done by that person, or we have to change the task if they want to give it up. Then there's the tasks that have to be done by people, an actual human being, whether it be it's something physical that requires a person interaction, or it's a phone conversation that only a person can do. And then there's all the rest of the stuff, and it's the monotonous, repetitive answering emails and scheduling, sending out calendar reminders or whatever it may be. And in every business, there's that list tends to be way longer than the other two. So when I work with somebody and I lay it all out in the book, it's all about dividing your tasks into these three buckets and then creating an assistant, an AI assistant, or an AI, I like to call them AI micro employees, because it's an AI that's designed to do a very specific task. They're not a bookkeeper. They're the person who imports my QuickBooks records in and reconciles them. It's a very micro task. And so what we do is we create all these AI micro employees who do very specific tasks 24 hours a day. And every time we bring one of those in, it takes something off the plate of one of the humans, whether it be the business owner or another employee. And the great part about it is it gives them, the humans, room to grow beyond what they were doing because they don't have all those extra things weighing them down.
I love that. So I love that idea is the three buckets, stuff you got to do, stuff somebody's got to do, and then all the rest, which is often the things that are, you know, drudgery or nobody wants to do, or you put it off, or you wait, save it for the nighttime, or hope it goes away and it never does, you know, all of that crap. And what you're saying is I can train one of these little things, 20 of them, to do 20 specific things, and then they do it over and over and over again, and you tweak them, and they do it really well, faster and better than you, and they do it 24/7, and they don't bitch, and they don't make mistakes, usually. Yeah. And so I can do that for you, and imagine all the creativity, the focus, and all the stuff that you recapture, not only because it's time, but the emotional weight that is created when you know you've got this to-do list of crap you don't want to do that's 50 miles long.
Yeah.
And that's all gone too, the baggage about that. Mm-hmm. So is that what's in the book, is talking about that? What else, what other diamond gems are in this beautiful thing?
That's part one of the book. Part one is really the tools to assess. And it's not a slow process for most people, because many, many business owners, just like many people, they're attached to their baggage. They don't want to let it go. So I've worked with people where when we've gone through this process, the first run through it, the number of things that they had on their plate that they wanted to retain ownership of was huge. And it was all because they weren't willing to let go. Their identity was tied to the stuff that they were doing, the baggage they were carrying. And part of the growth of doing this is getting them to understand that they can let some of that baggage go to free up who they are and change their life and live a better life by giving those things up. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, what's evident to me as I watch you describe this, the level of excitement and energy you have around this. I mean, this is a really exciting thing for you. So tell me what happens when you go through the list three or four times and you pry from their cold, dead fingers 57 tasks that they really didn't have to keep, but somehow they've tied their worth to, and you free them up. Then what happens to them as they start to see that maybe you're right, and maybe a little at a time, and maybe suddenly a lot, I don't know. But what happens to them as a business owner and as the architect, the visionary that is now no longer bogged down by this stuff that they thought they had to do?
Some people really embrace it, and other people go into panic mode. And I've seen both. I've seen it where people are like, oh, wow, I don't have to work on Saturday. I can go to my kid's ball game. I haven't been to a ball game in 8 months because I've been so busy working, and now I can go. And the light bulb kind of goes on. Their eyes open up and they say, oh, well, what else can I free up so that I don't have to do, you know, I don't have to lose my evenings, or I get to go home for dinner. Those are the ones that embrace it really quickly. Because they see the value, they see what they've lost and how they can gain it back. Then there are some who are more hesitant, more resistant to it. And those are people usually whose identity is very tied to their business. We see that a lot with professionals, lawyers, doctors, people who they are is tied directly to their business and how much time they put into it, how much effort they put into it. And that's a longer process because with them, I need to work with them a little bit more on kind of rebuilding who they are. And fortunately, because I've done that myself in my own business, in my own life, my own business over the years, I coach them through that and really help them understand and that their value, their personal net worth is not tied to their job or their business identity. And so that they can gain that back.
That really important point, I want to go down that road a little bit. You said you're good at that coaching because you've gone through this process of redefining yourself and discovering that. So talk a little bit about that. Redefining yourself. What happened? How was that difficult? What caused that? What were the rewards? Talk a little bit about that.
At the time, it was very, very difficult. So I began my real entrepreneurial journey young. I launched my first business when I was 18. And then I subsequently, over a course of a couple of years, lost it. Mainly because I was an 18-year-old kid who didn't know what I wanted and got caught up in the excitement of owning my own business and had a lot of hiccups with it. The second time I launched my own career, I was in my early 30s, and that allowed and I was at a different place in life. So I had things that were more important to me, but the model that I learned. My father was an attorney. I have a lot of attorneys and doctors in the family, and a lot of their existence is tied to work. So that was the work ethic that I had. It was like I just worked and built a great business, but I didn't have anything outside of work. And I realized I was really unhappy. And when I started looking for that happiness, I had it. It was directly at odds with my business and it took me a long time to work through that I was not the business and learn through a bunch of mentors that I had at the time. I worked with a bunch of personal development coaches and mentors who helped me understand that who I was as a person wasn't tied to what my business was. And those lessons are what I've carried through the last 25 years. And when I talk to people, that's what I bring up. That's what I help them understand. I'm paying it forward. I'm passing that same lesson that I learned along to them to help them understand that who they are as a person is not tied to their business identity.
So there's a question that I love to ask. You know, you discovered this for yourself, and so you healed yourself, and you realized that you are not. The business may be the way you create money and value in the world, but there's a lot more to who you are as a person than just how you make money. What drove you to want to help other people instead of just leaving them to figure it out for themselves? Like, you figured it out for you. You're all tuned up. And then you could say, yeah, good luck, guys. Why are you so interested? And I know you're passionate about it. Why is it important in your heart to lower the suffering and all that good stuff that we say? Why do you care?
It actually started with some close friends who were very, you know, in the same boat that I was in. And they were caught up in the same thing, and they saw me starting to have more freedom, have more time, travel more. And they were like, well, how can you do that without sacrificing? And I started to talk to them about it. And I had a few friends at the time who are no longer friends now, who were so caught up in it. They pushed me away because I was like it wasn't a model that they could understand. They couldn't get their head around it. And they were so resistant to it that they were like, well, I can't be around you because you're not working as hard as I am anymore. Even though I was doing a lot, I just wasn't following what they thought I needed to do. And as I spent a lot of time working with my mentors. So I worked for a bunch of the big personal development guys for a while. as a coach because I wanted to give back. I wanted to make a difference. And then I kind of broke out on my own and I was like, well, I can teach business owners how to be more successful and tie in the growth aspects of it as well. And that's what I've been doing for the better part of 20 years. AI has only been the last two of it. And like I said, at the beginning, AI is just a tool. It's the current tool that gets people to where they are, where they want to be. But making a difference in people's lives is important to me at the core. I'll go out of my way to help somebody.
I love that. I love asking that question because it seems to be a characteristic of people who struggle in any way. Then they do the effort to go find help and whatever that looks like. And then they overcome it. I never talk to somebody that says, yeah, I'm good. Screw the rest of you. There seems to arise in us at the same time the need, the yearning to help somebody else, whether they're friends or whatever. And, you know, often we say it as a sort of euphemistically, I like to help people. But the truth is, there's a thing that comes up in us when we discover something that we really feel compelled to share it. And that's just what you've explained. I love that.
Well, you know what? It goes back to your definition of joy. When we connect with that joy in our hearts, we want to share it. We want to expose more people to that, because we want them to feel the way we feel.
And isn't that the opposite of what we're seeing in the world, which is, I got mine, I got more than you, I'm this, I'm that, I'm all that, and you suck, and I'm going to do, you know, that sort of thing, which seems to permeate so much of the, I don't know if it's commercialism or egotistical behavior, so I'm grateful that you're a bright light shining as a beacon of love. Good for you.
Thank you
for that. Yeah, you bet. So we've talked about a number of different things, and I want to open it up here for a minute. And you've got this new book. I want people to go to look at it, Leverage or Die. I know Mark, and I can vouch for his sincerity and the value of stuff he's got. I sat and listened to him at a place I was at talk about AI, and I'm like, yeah, cool. So really good, and I know his knowledge of it's really deep. What other things would you like to either teach us or share about either your journey, the emergence of AI, the truth that entrepreneurship doesn't have to be a grind and you die, you know, on the grinding wheel? What else would be important for you to share with people today?
Honestly, I love talking about the entrepreneurial journey because it's allowed me to get to where I am. I welcome as many entrepreneurs into the space as I can. We're at the point in society where too many people are caught up with who they are, and they're associating their personal net worth or their personal worth to their net worth or their job, and making space for somebody to grow into something that they're passionate about is something that I really enjoy helping and motivating people to discover what that thing is. I was talking to somebody recently at a farmer's market who was like, yeah, I have this 9-to-5 job that I have to have because that pays the bills. But then I'm really passionate about this craft thing. And we make these bows for kids and all this other stuff. And I saw the difference in their eyes when they're talking about their job that they had to have to pay the bills and what they were making with their own hands and the joy that brought to them. And I want to see more of that in the world. I think that level of deep joy and deep personal self-worth will change this nature that we're having right now and in the world, this need to argue, this need to fight, this divisiveness and everything else, that all stems from our own individual lack of self-worth. because when I'm not, I don't value who I am. I have to, the human nature is when I don't value who I am, I have to make myself better than you to have that, to create that sense of value. And that's what creates this divisiveness that we're seeing all over the world right now. We need to get past that in order to heal some of this divisiveness.
You said something just so important. You talked about the joy of making space for someone to explore their gifts or talents or creativity, you know, creating space for that to happen. So many people feel threatened by that because they feel like if somebody else blossoms, I suck. You know, they're going to get above me, and we have this whole comparative disease. So opine for a second about how we got here, because a baby isn't born that way. This is all something we learn, like some kind of disease, that in order to be okay, I have to be better than you, you know, or you know, some version of that, right? Mm-hmm. And we measure it in all these weird ways. Talk a little bit about how we got here. What's wrong?
I think part of it is it stems back to a sense of values that we're taught at a young age. Yeah, it's funny. I was reading this book, and I don't recall the title, but it was talking about the difference in the educational system between the 1800s and today. And, you know, back 100 years ago or 150 years ago, the educational system was a little one-room schoolhouse where you were taught by you were taught by somebody who's in the community, maybe the mother or the father of a friend of yours, and you worked together and you had time outside and you got to grow and explore. And then we shifted models to this. When you went into, let's say, first grade or kindergarten, it's go sit down at the desk and be quiet until I talk to you. And don't speak unless you're spoken to. And what that's done is that's kind of, it's almost like a good example would be breaking the spirit of a horse. You know, if you get beat down enough, it breaks your spirit. There was the example somebody gave on a talk I was having a couple of days ago was, you know, when a baby elephant is young, they put the chain around the foot and nail it to a stake. And as it grows up, it realizes, you know, it pulls against it and pulls against it, realizes it's not getting anywhere. And then it gets broken. And the rest of its life, as soon as you put that, it could be a thin little piece of twine around their leg. But as soon as they feel that resistance, they're like, oh, well, I can't do anything and I'm just going to give up. People are like that today. People are beat down because that's the way society has developed. It's the power in the media. It's the power in the hierarchy of structure. And it's really gotten us to where we are today, unfortunately.
So here's what we're going to do right now. We've just got a couple of minutes left, and I want you to tell people where to find out more. I love your perspective on that. I agree with you. We beat the crap out of ourselves, and allowing our creativity to blossom and turning it into something you love to do and adding good to the world with your gifts and talents is a way to fix that. And Mark is an expert on all that. Mark, how does someone find out how to get more Mark?
So you can find out about my book at leverageordie.com. That's the best way to find out more information about the book and how to get it on Amazon. I've got a whole bunch of training in there as well. And then markshalensky.com. It's markshalensky.com. And that's my site that's got information about me, where I'm speaking, what I'm doing, what I'm working on. And that's the best way to get a hold of me and all the social, of course.
Yes, and I want to endorse Mark completely. Mark, thank you for being on the show and sharing your passion, your wisdom, your journey, your insights, and all kinds of coolness that you've created in the world. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Kellen. It's been great.
So I want you to take your time. Go to Mark Shalensky, S-H-I-L-E-N-S-K-Y. Okay, markshalensky.com. and his book, leverageordie.com. It's on Amazon. You can go to that site. He's got free training for you. He's got free, but stuff in the book that will teach you some of the valuable lessons that he's learned. And here's what I know about Mark. Everything that he teaches is battle-tested, it's real, it's powerful, and it will help you overcome this indoctrination. We live in this idea where we've been indoctrinated to not shine, to not trust our talents, to not trust our voices, and where we measure everything against the opinions and feelings of others. And I agree with Mark completely. So I encourage you to go dig around in there. He's got gold, and part of his gold is about the emergence of AI. So he's an authority on that, has lots of experience, and his book and his teachings will help you move forward as you create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.